that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. This a war. That until that day.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So as I'm checking the news, yes, the bombs are falling. And, you know, is it a wag the dog moment? I got to tell you, it seems like it. This, to me, the scary part is I truly do not believe this president has any clue of what the next move is. And that's the scary part of this. And it's not even a matter of him using our military infrastructure or talk. I just don't believe he consulted with anyone. He made up his mind. It seemed like a good thing to do at the time, and it's somebody else's problem. It's scary stuff to me. And this is the kind of thing I worried about from the very beginning. Anyway, we're here to talk about what's going on, the week in review, and all of that. Our good friend Isaiah Poole. He is the founder of Poole Media. Isaiah, thanks for taking time for us.
Really glad to be here.
So I look at the big story tonight, obviously, was supposed to be the firing of Rosenstein and all of the chaos around Comey's book and his, you know, the insanity that has been. Now it looks like we may have started World War III.
Or maybe not. You know, there was just a Pentagon briefing with Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis and a couple of other folks there at the Pentagon who talked about how limited this strike was against Syria, which is confusing to me because the president in his address at 9 o'clock said that this would be a sustained attack until Syria gave up or lost the capacity to threaten the world with chemical weapons.
Right, that's what I saw, and that's what I read. So now, and this is again back to my concern and my problem with this president. He said one thing, his defense secretary saying something completely different. What's the third story?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the reporting in here in Washington in the last 24 hours has been that Mattis has been the one that's been trying to talk Trump down from basically launching World War III over this. And it's been folks like John Bolton and plus the commentators from Fox News who are sort of acting like a shadow cabinet that have been sort of egging Trump on to do this massive attack.
So how long has Bolton been?
What you've seen literally in the last hour is how this stuff unfolds in real time.
Right.
You have the president, literally the president, saying one thing, and then what actually happens is looks very different from what he said.
So how long has Bolton been national security advisor, and we've already started bombing something? Because look, I said on day one, and in fact, you know, I could go back and pull the tapes. I looked at my imaginary watch and said bombing at 5 o'clock. Well, you know, 9 o'clock wasn't that far off.
You're right. You're right. I'm not even sure it was last month when Trump was tweeting that we ought to get out of Syria altogether. So, I mean, you know, we've gone from that to, you know, where we are tonight with what appears, at least at this hour, to be a limited bombing strike at some Syrian facilities.
But again, it's just one of those things where I personally think it's a wag the dog moment.
Even if it's not, the fact that it looks like one is extraordinarily troubling.
Right. And, you know, what's bothering to me is you look at all of the other stuff. We are a nation in chaos right now.
Yes.
And this is concerning to me on so many levels. Look, I've got a 15-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son who, you know, are coming to military age. I look at this kind of an attack without really a plan, and a president who clearly has no grasp of how to play the chess match of how to make the next, think about the next move and think about the consequences of whatever he does now down the road, that is frightening for me as a parent.
And, well, you know, there's something, and this is probably heretical for me to say, but I sort of wonder whether we would be having this discussion if Assad were taking out folks with AR-15s instead of chemicals.
Yeah, well, you're right. We wouldn't be talking about it at all if it were just the AR-15s because, you know, evidently, you know, watching children gasping for air is what has made us as a country pay attention to it.
Right.
But, you know, I keep asking the question, you know, if we're going to be the policemen of the world, if our job is to go into all of these places where horrible things are going on, we better increase the defense budget and start hiring more people. Because I look at Darfur, we did nothing in South Sudan. We've done nothing, you know, and places all around the globe.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, what this feels all the world to me like, again, is one of the key raps against the Trump presidency, is that when you are spending your days watching Fox News instead of spending your day actually dealing with policies to run the country, then what you get is reactions based on emotional foul footage instead of policy that is based on actual strategic thinking about the direction that you want to take the country and the role that you want to play in the world.
Right. So the question that I have is, you know, because I think everybody, I guess I should ask you, because it's my view that Putin's behind whatever goes on in Syria. Are you on the same train of thought that Putin's kind of the player behind this?
Certainly Putin is a player behind this. And, you know, one of the things that's real interesting about this is that, you know, that's made us real, real schizophrenic about our relationship with Russia. We have no coherence there.
Should he have sought congressional approval?
This definitely needs to come before Congress. It is good that we are that at least there's some level of coordination with Great Britain, and I believe France was the other country that was involved in this. But you know, this does need to come before Congress, and I'm glad that there are people in both parties who are flagging this. It's Rand Paul on the right, Kristen Gillibrand on the left, and
Bob Casey right there in the middle.
And Bob Casey right there in the middle, exactly right, who are all raising this question about, you know, the use of military force. That's particularly crucial in a White House where there is so much chaos driven by a man who is clearly not, you know, what's the word? A man who is clearly not
lucid, sane,
lucid,
rational,
sane. Yeah.
Critical,
you know,
thinker.
Whatever word you want to use, right now he should not be president of the United States. He simply does not have the mental and emotional capacity to be governing. Period.
Yeah, but we knew that back on back after the election in November of 16. You know, all of the things that I'm saying tonight are things that I said back then. This, we are living out what my fear is.
Yeah.
My fear has always been, my view of this guy is he's the guy who wants to push the button. He wants to push the shiny button. The button's there. I want to push the button. And he just wants to find an excuse. And I see this as that. And look, I've always been a non-interventionalist. So, you know, I know some of my more liberal friends are saying, you know, horrible things happen all around the world, and we've got to figure out how to stop that. And yes, that's why we have the UN. That's why we participate in the international community. I don't know that we should be the one leading that stuff.
Well, you know, I hear you. And
that's a nice way of disagreeing with me.
Well, here's my thing. You know, I don't. United States should not be the country who stands on the side of the road and watches people as they are as they're killed.
And I agree with you on that.
It's the same attitude that I would have. It's the same thing that makes me react against Trump when he rails about the caravan of people coming up through Mexico from Central and South America because they're fleeing, you know, really horrific conditions there. And you have this President Trump standing there and talking about women, quote, being raped like anyone has ever seen before, unquote. And his response to that is, but we won't let them in. We won't put our arms around them. We won't, you know. I mean, it's just the worst possible reaction you could ever have.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. Look, I look at these horrible atrocities around the world and say something has to be done. But there's got to be a way there. You got to have a plan.
You have to have an end game. And I think that's why, you know, we have institutions like the United Nations. It's where organizations like NATO, where the coalitions of nations. You know, we in Syria. You know, President Trump talked about the relationships that we have with these other Middle East nations. Those relationships certainly aren't helping us in the Syria situation, are they?
No. You're right. I mean, my problem is though, we're not going to get into a full-scale war. And my problem is what I'm looking at is this is starting to feel an awful lot like a proxy war that we saw during the Cold War.
Well, exactly.
That here we are again, we're going to be expending tons of resources, we're going to be treading water, and we're not going to... Nothing's going to get better.
When in fact, you know, one of the, you know, one of the issues that you have in Syria is, you know, let's look at all of the underlying conditions that are causing the unrest. You know, whether it's economic, whether it's you know, climate change was singled out in the Obama administration as a security problem.
Right.
Why? Because when you have adverse climate conditions that lead to economic, bad economic situations, droughts, floods, etc., that cause migrations of people from their homelands to other places, that leads to political instability. And yet we are the country that is walking, in fact, has made a conscious decision through guys like Scott Pruitt that we are going to continue to contribute to climate change.
I'm not going to argue with you there. We're making the world less safe based on that because you're going to have mass migrations. You're going to have refugees going all over the place. There's going to be mass chaos. And you're right. Our EPA head, he's going to be a big part of that, and so is Trump.
Yeah.
No argument there. So let me ask you a last kind of line of questioning because, you know, we see all of this, and you see all of the chaos here. Is there any way to rein this in? I mean, you know, at some point, you've got to go, okay, the craziness has got to stop. We've got to have there's got to be an adult that takes over. There's got to be someone
I think my first prayer is that the country lasts long enough for us to have a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate by the end of the year.
Doesn't that sound a little hyperbolic, though? You hope that it will last to the end of the year? I can hear the red right wingers out there going, "Oh, he thinks the country's going to come to a screeching halt at the end of the year. What's he talking about?"
I think it's a little bit of paranoia. I think there's maybe what I should do is take a page out of Jim Comey's new book. I understand that at the end of the Jim Comey's book, there's a sentence that says that in spite of all that is the, you know, all the chaos that is the Trump administration and all the immorality that is the Trump administration, the dysfunction, that America at the end of the day is going to be all right. I certainly think that with sweeping the Republicans out of power who have shown a complete unwillingness to put the Trump administration in check is going to go a long way toward that. And of course, you know, the Mueller investigation is beginning to come to a head. And, you know, if we can keep the pieces of that investigation going until they're, what I hope are indictments.
I'm hoping there are tons of perp walks. I'm hoping to, I'll increase my tax rate to build a wing on San Quentin. You know, whatever it takes. Let's start locking them up.
Yeah, I agree. But I think between the Mueller investigation and then, you know, having a Congress that will actually put the president in check. I mean, I think those are the two things, at least in the next couple of years, that we can do. And actually, on that point about having a Democratic Congress, I'm extraordinarily hopeful. I see really good candidates. I see lots of great energy. I'm really looking forward to, even though I'm a resident of the District of Columbia, my vote doesn't mean a heck of a lot. As much as your vote does in Pennsylvania, but I'm looking forward to November.
I it can't come fast enough for me to put a little check in the checks and balances, most certainly, and especially on a night like tonight when there should be somebody checking what this president's doing.
You know, maybe this will contribute to, some of the rethinking that's been going on, I think, around a lot of middle America who were, you know, a year ago were saying, well, maybe we ought to give this Trump guy a chance. Well, I think we've seen the consequences of that.
Or my fear is the other side of this, that there's a bunch of chest thumping and a bunch of bravado of, wait, we bombed them, we're going to put them, a bunch of that stuff. And I know Trump's going to be tweeting right away of, how it was the most successful strike ever. You know, we accomplished everything that I didn't know I wanted, all kinds of stuff.
But, most of us have not forgotten Iraq. And in fact, we haven't even forgotten what Trump said about Iraq. And we will be prepared to point out how hypocritical he is when he starts doing the chest thumping.
Right. Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, everything he says is hypocritical. I mean, there's literally a tweet for everything he says being the polar opposite of anything he says. I mean, there's literally a tweet for that.
I totally agree with you. And, I guess it's probably, how prosaic it is of me to think that hypocrisy means anything anymore. But, that's the hopeful side of me. I think, there is a segment of this public who sees this stuff and who knows that we've got to do better as a country. And, the reaction, the continued activism that we have in the streets, the continued agitation that we have as people are launching campaigns. I mean, the fact that Paul Ryan announced that he is going to retire and not run for reelection, which may mean that a Democrat will take his seat.
Yeah, it looks like Iron Stash may have an inside track there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's huge. That's huge. That means that, all of the momentum right now is on our side. It's not on his side.
Good stuff. Last thing, real quick. Insulted or not insulted? One of the people in our chat room said that you sound like Ben Carson.
Oh, I'm terribly insulted. I watched a Ben Carson video today. When he was making a video about the 50th anniversary of the passage of the Fair Housing Act, I literally thought he was going to fall asleep.
Nothing surprising there to me. Nothing at all. Isaiah, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Great stuff. Sorry to offend you.
It's like whoever did that tweet, they're off my list.
There you go. Good stuff. Our good friend Isaiah Poole, founder of Poole Media. Let's take a quick break, wrap things up. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Until the philosophy, which old one race superior and another,
inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war.